Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Well, how many of you watched the game last week? All right. Some of you are thinking right now, what game? All right, I get it, okay. Some of you don't want to think about it, okay. But it seems like everyone that I've chatted with talked about how that was a good game. Now, well, if your team wasn't playing and if you were, you know, wanting to see two teams who hadn't been in there for a while and see another game there that, well, it wasn't a blowout in one way or another, well, then I suppose that you could call that game a good game. Now, for me, it wasn't a good game until the last 7 minutes of the last quarter of the game. Because up until then, well, you know, I wasn't too excited about it. But, you know, that's because, well, the Chiefs were behind, quite frankly. And so then they started to score and kept on scoring until, wow, they won. Amazing. Okay? It had been 50 years since they last won a Super Bowl. And I also know that it's been 51 years for the Jets, okay? I can relate to that time frame, all right? I'm not that making fun of them. It's like, I can relate. It's been a long time. Okay? Sure. But they came from behind, and they won. Ah, the glory of winning. Again, it was 50 years since the Chiefs last won that game. Believe it or not, I remember watching that game. So I won't tell you how old I was at the time, but I remember watching that game. Does anybody remember who the Chiefs were playing 50 years ago? Yeah, Minnesota Vikings. That's right. That's who they were playing. Okay? It's kind of funny. The Minnesota Vikings, well, that was my second favorite team. And you might be thinking, that's kind of strange. It's like, no, my mom's from Minneapolis, and so I've got all kinds of relatives up there. And so my second group of teams would be the Minnesota teams, unless they were playing the Kansas City teams, and then they take back seat. All right. But the Vikings, though, they were supposed to win that game against the Chiefs way back when. They didn't. And what were they seeking? Well, they were seeking to what? To win. And then to enjoy all the glory that follows it. Glory. Many people seek after glory. They seek after praise and honor and the distinction of being the only one. Something that secures praise or renown. All right? They want all the accolades that go along with it. Now, who is it that gives glory? Well, that would be others who are seeing somebody who's done something unique. And so then they are the ones who give that person or team the praise and the glory. So, team wins, what do they receive? Well, sometimes they get a trophy. And then, you know, well, they go home, and then sometimes their town puts on a parade for them. They are giving them the glory. But how long does that glory last? Hold on to that thought for a moment. Glory. True glory. Well, that's the direction that Paul's headed in our second lesson here for today, our epistle lesson in 1 Corinthians. He starts off with sharing with the Corinthians that basically when I was with you folks, okay, I didn't give you any kind of lofty speech in order to win you over. I didn't have amazing wisdom to expound to get you to get on my side. It was a simple message. And this is what he said. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now recall, Paul is saying that, you know, I shared this message with you. And at the time, people, well, they were all lined up to beat me, okay? They were putting up an amazing defense, if you will, to prevent me from sharing that simple message. Consequently, I was fearful of them, because he didn't want to stand up to that kind of opposition. So, Paul didn't try to convince the people with, you know, words of wisdom. Actually, Paul's offense, all right, God's offense, if you will, was demonstrated with some amazing plays, displays of spirit and power. We're talking about miraculous demonstrations of God's power. People were healed of diseases and that kind of thing. And the purpose of that, as Paul puts it, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks were expecting to be convinced with words, intellectual words about how God would act. They were expecting directions there on what they could do to win favor with God, to earn merit with God. That was their expectation. Trouble is that if you're trying to score points with God in that way, well, you are doomed to fail, doomed to lose. You see, there's a playbook, the Bible, all right? That is where true wisdom is imparted. Not like the kind of wisdom that the world is expecting. Paul put it this way, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Well, the secret word there is Christ. God decreed that from back beginning, but where true glory would be found. And who would win this glory for us? None other than the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. You see, nobody understood this. They were focused on earthly glory, the kind of glory that fades. Just like being Super Bowl champion, okay, that glory fades. Sure, I can go around and say, hey, my team won last week. And yes, you might remember that, yeah, you know, Super Bowl III, the Jets won, Joe Namath. You might remember that too. But let me ask you this question. Who won Super Bowl IX? Yeah. Who won Super Bowl IX? Well, it was the Steelers. The Steelers beat the Vikings. Well, you don't remember that? Sure you don't remember that, because you don't care. You know, who cares who won that game? All right? You know, you think about it, it just really isn't that important. And that's precisely the point. Who cares? What matters now, even a week after last week's Super Bowl, people are already thinking, it's like, what is my team going to do so that they can win next year? You've already put that in the past, and you're starting to think about the future. Why? Because earthly glory can change from one year to the next. That's why Paul continues. He says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." You see, it's only through faith in God that is given to a person. Well, do folks begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who is directing our attention to Jesus? You see, Jesus had no beauty or majesty about him, nothing that would attract us to him. He had no superstar status. He was no MVP. But yet, he is the wisdom and power of God. It is Jesus who humbled himself to die on a cross, earned the forgiveness of our sins. No one imagined what his death would mean for us. He rose from the grave alive and ascended into heaven. And no one understands truly what God has prepared for us. But you see, the faith that the Holy Spirit instills in us causes us to comprehend that one day Jesus will come back to take us to be with him, to dwell in a place specially prepared for us in his heavenly glory. But therein lies the difficulty at times for us. Okay? We don't have that glory yet. Sure, we're on the winning team, but the world wants evidence of that glory. Their thinking is, out of sight, out of your mind. Where's the trophy to hold? Where's your t-shirt showing that your team is the champions? Sometimes that is a struggle for us, because we go through struggles in this life and we want something that we can hold on to. We look for wisdom and glory that we can have ourselves so that we can show others and say, look at me, I'm important. Look at my glory. But you see, that's where we need to focus our attention, not on earthly glory, but on heavenly glory. That is what truly matters. Now, when was the heavenly glory given to you? Well, it was given to you in your baptism. There, God said to you, you matter to me. As I say to every person I baptize, mark you with the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And then comes the promise that God makes with you personally. When that water is applied to you and the word spoken over you, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have been set aside for God. Your sins are forgiven. You have the promise that only He can make. You have the promise of everlasting life to dwell in heaven with His glory forever and ever. See, the glory that the Lord of glory gives to you will never fade. It will never be forgotten. You will live and bask in that glory with Christ forever and ever. You see, He beat death and the devil. He is the champion for all time. You know, it's interesting that they did an interview with Patrick Mahomes, okay, the quarterback for the Chiefs, the most valuable player. And so they were saying to him, it's like, hey, you're a Super Bowl champion now. You're the most valuable player. How are you going to top that? And his response, win next year. You see, he already gets it. The glory that you have now is going to fade. It's not going to last. In order for him to get it back again, he needs to win again. And there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. You see, earthly glory is fleeting. That's why in good times and in times of struggle, we need to make Paul's words our words when he said, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is where your true glory is found, in Christ, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.